Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. On the way in, I was going to say, yeah, it's a rainy. No, it's a sunny. It's both. Wednesday afternoon. Jason Caldwell of Auburn Undercover and 24/7 Sports beat me here. Got in before the rain. I pulled up. It had been pouring. And then the sun came out and it's steamy outside. That's what it is, sort of like being on the very outskirts on the backside of Adelia.
Yeah, and as steamy goes, still not too bad. Right around 80 degrees.
Oh, so it's steamier right now just because the sun came out and there's steam coming
correct.
Up from the water.
But it is.
The temperature today and the humidity has been a whole lot better.
And Saturday's supposed to be 81.
I'm seeing 88. It depends on where you look.
I said Weather Channel 81. And it's 79 on Friday. Here's the thing. Even if it's 88, it's a little warm. But it's much better than I expected.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Now, my
ago.
Wife said, I told her that. I said, you know, it's only going to be in the 80s. She goes, it'll still be hot. Yeah, but it won't be nearly as, just miserable.
It is football in Alabama.
That's right.
In early September. It's just going to be
but
hot.
Don't worry. We never leave. Now, it's going to be a little different with an 18-month-old.
Correct.
I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to hang for too long. But
It'll be, you know, for folks getting an early start for a 2:30 kick on Saturday. It'll be a really pleasant morning, it looks like, though, too. I mean, mild and...
Yeah, for this time of year, it's unbelievably
gradually
mild.
Gradually getting a little bit warmer, but, I mean, yeah, it looks like it could be, you know, in the 70s for much of the time leading up to kickoff, maybe even in the 60s there in the morning. So it could be a really nice game day. You know, we were hoping for the best.
It's not going to be cold. I mean, it's got to be really, really cold. Nothing's gonna deter Jason from wearing shorts at this time of year. And it's going to take a lot for me to change my mind from shorts for Saturdays.
No, I'm shorts next week for Cal or 75, 57. Yeah, somebody was like, I was like, no, it's still short weather. We're still
that's
good.
Right. Oh, yeah. So the Wednesday drive here under sunny skies at the studio. You've already heard all of us, Bill, Dan, and Jason here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And we'd love for you to join in Wednesday of game week. And... let's see.
Do you have something pressing?
No, not really. Jason, I was gonna hit Jason with a couple things. What you got?
I mean, I was able to go to the practice yesterday. First of all, I don't know if we can give enough kudos to Auburn for a game week practice viewing window. Like that
has not been common.
We were trying to think about it. Nathan said he didn't think he'd had one since he'd been doing this, and it was 2018. And I'm like, yeah. I'm thinking 16, 17 at least the last time we saw this would count as in season.
Right.
Anything in the season
you think?
Practice. It might have been even a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah, I'm trying to recall. There may have been a couple of times when
early on,
I was on the air and couldn't go or something
like
that.
Early on, we might have had a 15, 20-minute window. We did have that during the year, early gusts.
Those
I don't
would
remember
be,
when
but,
they went away.
Yeah, but a lot of those were just pretty much warm and stretching and
that's pretty much
maybe
all,
a
that's,
drill.
That's pretty much all we saw yesterday. We didn't see much more than that yesterday, but we're still in there.
My takeaway is, you know, what you could take away from what we got to saw, from what we got to see yesterday. Isavian Miller seemed to be working with the ones, you know, tough to draw conclusions there. We were talking about Isavian Miller quite a bit. The receivers, you know, there were a couple, I would say Nick Mardner and Coy Moore in particular, who seemed limited. But for the most part, all 10 scholarship receivers are out there. I didn't know how often we'd seen all 10 scholarship guys out there together. And just in general, the players Hugh Freeze listed on Monday as being questionable with injuries, you know, looking and checking them off the list and things. What did you What did you take away from yesterday, and where are you sort of heading into Saturday?
Yeah, Coy Moore's been so, banged up throughout camp. I wasn't expecting to see him play on Saturday, and so I'd still be a little surprised. Nick Mardner, they got a lot of depth at receiver, mm-hmm. and normally if it's an ankle, something like that, you probably don't want to push it early on. Probably Nehemiah Pritchett would be the one that I went, okay, that one might be, he had a white jersey on, he was doing things, but another one you go, man, if you don't have to push that one early, it might work out. But Jalen McLeod looked ready to go, which is big news for this team. I mean, that's one that you have to have. He looked good. Austin Keys is good. So, in all honesty, there's been a few bumps and bruises, but I think if you asked Hugh Freeze, he'd say, hey, been pretty darn fortunate from an injury standpoint in a camp where they've done a pretty good bit of 11-on-11. It's not like it used to be where you had two or three a days and you would have four scrimmages and those kind of things. This one is, they have been precautionary for a reason, because they've got a lot of veteran guys that are going to play for this team. Now, not all of them have played at Auburn. A lot of them haven't. But these are guys that play a lot of football, so they know how to prepare for a season. So, I think pretty healthy group going into game one.
I would say, you look around the league and just about everybody has some players that aren't just questionable for this week. They're guys that are out for extended periods of time. And, again, you still got to get through this week of practice, but Auburn's going into the season in about as good a shape as you could hope for.
Yeah, and I think you think about, a few guys, maybe that'll be a little limited or something like that. We'll get to pregame, and that'll be the determining factor probably for most of these guys. I think I didn't see anybody that was like, I think that guy's completely out. But I do think, and what's your estimation? Because I've been thinking about it. I'm trying to put a number on it. How many different players do you think we'll see in the first quarter, just on offense? I'm not counting special teams, just on offense and defense in just the first quarter.
First quarter, I would say I'd be very surprised if there aren't around 40.
Let's go position by position.
Mid 30s for sure.
I think. Now, maybe not first quarter. But let's go first half.
Yeah, first half, because
you're going to see
multiple
quarterbacks.
Seven or eight receivers.
You're going to see multiple quarterbacks.
But Hugh Freeze mentioned the Robbie Ashford situation on Monday.
He looked okay yesterday throwing it. It's hard to tell. But a strained oblique.
That can be a problem.
It could impact you more throwing than running, though.
Right.
And so maybe you still do some things where you can still run. But either way, I think we're going to see a second quarterback.
I think we'll see two or three running backs.
Two or three running backs in the first half.
Because Brian Battee is going to play.
Yes. Demari Austin, you're going to have those guys.
Yeah, I think the bigger question at running back is there a carry for Cobb in the first half? Because I think you're going to see the other
three. First big question is.
The biggest one is.
Yeah, there's a bigger one. You're right.
27
assuming,
out there.
Assuming the three don't include Jeremiah Cobb or Sean Jackson, they always say don't forget about Sean Jackson in that running back room. But you're right. There's a bigger question than that going into the first game.
Yeah, will we see, Jarquez Hunter? Mm-hmm. He was asked today on the SEC teleconference.
He gave the same response that he gave back at the start of when he first came back.
Correct. And that's kind of coach thing. And then I thought about, early on him talking about, look, the only advantage we have is the advantage that nobody knows what we have. And so I wondered if that kind of throws in.
Oh, I'm sure that's part of it.
I've said all along – I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see him. We'll find out on Saturday. But notwithstanding, I think two quarterbacks, three running backs in
two,
the first
two
half.
Two or three for sure, yeah.
Four tight ends. I think we'll see four tight ends.
I mean, you're talking on offense?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about just on offense. I think two running backs, three running backs, two quarterbacks, four tight ends, seven or eight receivers.
Yep.
I think we see seven or eight offensive linemen in the first half.
Oh, yeah?
I do. I think we'll see a couple of different lineups.
Well, I think you'll see the two different looks that we've been, wondering about, your starting possibilities with Gunnar Britton either at tackle or guard.
Correct. And so I think you see maybe there's a lineup with Isaiah Miller starting, Gunnar Britton at left guard. I think there's another one where Gunnar Britton's at right tackle and Jeremiah Wright's at left guard, or Tate Johnson.
Tate Johnson could be there. Right.
And so I think – again, so that's two or three extras. You might see
maybe you see Muskie.
You might see Muskie in there. So I think seven or eight offensive linemen. So you're talking about just in that.
20 or more on offense.
Just on offense.
That you just named.
If Auburn's cruising on offense, would it shock you to see Connor Liu make an appearance?
It would not. I think he's a guy that they want to get snaps for in preparation to be Auburn starting center next year.
Mm-hmm. And maybe he would go in if something happened to Avery Jones. Rather, I don't know what the – I mean, they've mentioned
– I think if something happened to Avery Jones, he would go.
Yeah, I don't think they would. They've mentioned Gunnar Britton taking snaps at center, too.
Yeah, I don't think they would hesitate because I'll tell you this. I think they think enough about him that Jahlil Irvin's now at right guard.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be your second – he would have been the second
center. And working some at tackle.
Yes,
I mean,
he would have been the second guy early on. I think he could still play center. I think they were like, hey, what else can we see? Connor Lue's been a guy that's been at center. Now, in a pinch, tight game, maybe you go Jahlil Irvin because of the experience factor or something like that because, maybe we feel a little more comfortable about him reading defenses, things like that. But I think Connor Lue's going to get some playing time there.
At receiver, did we get to receiver?
Yeah, he said seven or eight.
I think you look at – obviously, you look at
if they're healthy.
Jair Shorter, Shane Hooks, Camden Brown – outside for sure, Amari Kelly, that's four. And then Jay Fair, five. Javarius Johnson, six. Caleb Burton, seven. I think you're there at a seven, and if Nick Martiner can go, he would be an eighth.
Boy and Malcolm have been playing catch-up all offseason.
Correct. And so I think there's a healthy seven right there.
I would say that Nick Martiner being a – I thought Nick Martiner seemed to still be battling.
Yeah, that's one where I was like, I might be a little surprised to see him. But even if you don't count him, you go seven there. You go let's seven offensive line. So let's go seven to seven is 14, four tight ends, 18, three running backs, 21, two quarterbacks. That'd be 23 offensive players in the first half.
So 40 is very reasonable for the first half. I mean, because you're going to play more than that. You're going to play as many as that. Defensively, yeah, I mean, you're going to rotate a half dozen defensive linemen.
Maybe not as many in the secondary.
No.
But
you probably play four linebackers and six or seven guys up front.
I think we'll see three at the jack position. And then if you go two deep.
Is Jalen
looked fine.
Okay.
He looked fine yesterday. Yeah.
I would think that at quarterback, there's the possibility of one, if they want to get Peyton Thorne as many reps as possible and they want to play it safe with Robbie's oblique, maybe it's Peyton Thorne's show for all of the first half. Maybe it's two as they want to work in a backup. This is when I would point out that it was Robbie or Holden as the backup on the depth chart on
Monday. That could be because Robbie's oblique.
It could be because of the oblique. Maybe they want to – I mean, three's a lot, but, like, if you're working Robbie in on situational plays and I don't know.
Here's the other thing. Let's don't take that depth chart as 100% truth. It's just – I mean, I won't be surprised if the offensive line has a different look coming out. Won't be surprised if there's a couple of different ones.
It's kind of a guy in the order they were listed.
And I do think, that it's the right guys. It just may not be the right guys to start with.
The stories, and this is, I think you more than anyone else that we talked to, the guys who have made their move in fall camp, who maybe were slotted for one thing 3-4 weeks ago and now seem to be something else for this team. Like, how surprised are you, I guess, on offense, Jay Fair and Amari Kelly would be those players, maybe Tutal Miller as well? Like, how surprised are you to see those guys, maybe all three of them in the starting lineup on Saturday?
Tutal would be my number one. We've seen some of Jay Fair and Amari Kelly.
Coming from junior college and looking like you had your tackles set.
And being here in the spring and it going, probably got a little ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the work from the spring to now to get himself ready to go mentally and physically. I mean, he is a guy that has jumped into a group that I think has been there's no question. It's been the biggest change on this team, and to jump into that group and go, hey, I might be pushing somebody for an offensive, starting job. I don't think that anybody, if you'd ask me coming out of spring practice, the three most solid positions on this team, there where I said, hey, you can go ahead and pretty much write these things in. It would have been Dillaway to left tackle, Avery Jones at center, Gunnar Britton at right tackle. Other than the secondary spots.
Mm-hmm.
That'd have been it. Those would have been the positions I would have felt most secure about. And Isaiah Miller has at least given them something to think about at that. So he would be there. Amari Kelly, I'm a big believer in. Watched him in high school. He was just a guy that plays the game. And he did it as a safety. And so not a surprise there. And then Jay Fair probably would be my number two surprise. Just because you saw him in a little bit. and then you saw him in the spring some. And
another,
another guy that's worked, and he's put himself in position. So I think you look at that slot receiver position, if that's kind of what it is, and it's Jay Fair, Var, and Caleb Burton in that group, that's a pretty strong trio. This receiver group is talented. Now, how they look Saturday or even into the season, well, it's a tough offense to get used to, but there is some talent on this group.
We talk, and we're going to hear from Keontae Scott a little bit later on in the show. We'll more on that later. But we talk about how important the slot corner, star, whatever, WC, whatever you want to call it,
there's a difference in the star and the WC.
The WC was a mistake. Apparently,
I feel like it's a broadcast network now when we say it like that. WC.
Have you gotten clarification on what they meant?
I think it's supposed to be weak safety.
Weak side safety is what I heard.
Not Wang Chung.
Not Wildcat or whatever it would be. We had all kinds. We were like
water closet.
We were running through all kinds of names for it.
So the
Wiley Coyote was a good one too.
That's a good one. I like that.
The reason we say that slot,
I wouldn't want to be tagged the Wiley Coyote.
No.
Things aren't going to end up well for you.
He doesn't catch the Roadrunner very often.
No, that's right.
The low percentage. So with the slot corners become so important, and the reason is, I mean, we watched some of it yesterday, Jason. Seeing the drag route with a slot receiver these days, and seeing the speed. I mean, Jay Fair was flying on some of those. And the thought of a defender having to worry about other things and also keep up with that down the field, you know, and also play the run occasionally, you know, stuff like to see Caleb and Javarius and Jay Fair running those plays. It's like that could be, you get the feeling it could be a staple of this offense.
There's a lot of different looks that they'll be able to give. How many of them we see, how much of it. Like I think Rivaldo Fairweather is going to be a huge part of this offense. I don't know that he'll be a huge part of this offense on Saturday.
I wonder how much Auburn throws the ball on Saturday.
I
think you need to some.
Well, here's the thing about it. That's all dependent on Peyton Thorne and the quarterbacks, because every one of these is going to have that option to throw. Mm-hmm. And I think – here's the thing. I think they're going to want them to go, hey, look, if the numbers aren't there, then we need to do what we're coached to do. And so I think – if you're UMass and you start stacking it, then you go, okay.
UMass better stack it after. I mean, they gave up
over 200 yards rushing.
Yeah.
So when you listen to, I mean, and Hugh Freeze said the other day, so look, Melanie, you know, if you look up and you go, have 93 yards rushing, well, how much did you average per rush? Because you may have 350 passing. I don't know that they'd be too worried about it going, okay, if you're going to put eight guys up here and you're going to keep blitzing, we're not going to keep running into it.
Oh, yeah, because they feel like if you play them straight up, they're going to be able to run the ball.
Correct. And so, I mean, watching UMass defense, I saw five-man front, four-man front, three-man front, blitzes from corners, safeties, and that was just in the first quarter. A lot of different looks, a lot of heat. They're going to try to confuse and create negative plays, but in turn, there's going to be a lot of one-on-one opportunities on offense. And if Auburn could connect on some of those in the passing game, could put up some numbers.
We need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Jason Caldwell with us for a couple of more segments. You can join us by giving us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, sponsor of hour number one of the drive and also a sponsor of the hotline. And that number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive. Welcome back into the drive. 25 minutes after 4 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover, the 24/7 network. Jason, it's game week. I know you guys have tons of stuff out there.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff out there. A whole lot more coming. Myself and Nathan King did our podcast today that will be out a little later today.
Mm-hmm.
Have a real deal sometime tomorrow afternoon. It should be a good one, so people can check that out as well.
That, and of course, is with Luke Deal.
With Luke Deal, and so we'll have that tomorrow.
Excuse me, guys. Captain Luke Deal, as we found out.
That is right.
Yeah.
One of four captains.
You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's two storylines, two really big storylines.
There are a couple of things.
You have two guys that have just literally stuck it out and have been here and have done those things.
Yep.
And you got two guys that were signed on this team.
Two guys that are now three-time team captains, Elijah McAllister and Peyton Thorne.
Correct.
Were two-time team captains at their previous schools.
Yeah, and both.
That tells you what they have done to earn that respect
carried
here.
Over.
And Peyton, just since spring.
One of these guys has been here 2 months.
Yeah.
And is a team captain, or three months. Pretty remarkable to see, and you see why those things have happened. We saw Elijah McAllister at SEC Media Days already, and then see Peyton Thorne, and you listen to him talk, and you see it. But listening to other people talk about him is more impactful than listening to him talk about himself. But yeah, you know, I think that's great. So yeah, we have captain and maybe a surprise guest. Last week we had Rivaldo Fairweather, so maybe a surprise guest tomorrow's show. But have all those things, previews, road trip coming up Friday night. We would have been a road trip tomorrow night, but IMG Academy at Thompson got canceled. So Andalusia Anniston Friday night. So get to see a couple of Auburn commitments go head to head down there. So lots of things going on.
It's a really cool story for, like you said, Cam and Luke Deal. You know, a couple of guys who battled through Malzahn signees, right? Who are still on the team. And elected captains by their teammates. I have a feeling it won't be the last time people vote for Elijah McAllister for something, right? Like, this guy is just like has an unbelievably bright future in whatever he decides to do. And the story that was out there media days. Jason, maybe you can answer it. I don't know how many PhD candidates like play in the SEC. I don't know how normal it is to be.
Well, there's more now than there ever has been because of the timing and everything going on.
COVID helped.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yes, but. Impressive. I mean, just he's an impressive guy. And I tell you what, another guy that coming out of the spring, I was like, I'm not really sure what he's going to bring. And he has improved. He's done some good things in this fall camp. And you know, because people just assume like, well, Jalen McLeod's going to step in and be the starter. Elijah McAllister has been a solid early guy. He was a pressure guy in the first scrimmage. They've got three different looks that they can throw at people. Steven Sings is kind of the combination of both those guys a little bit, but Elijah McAllister's long.
And on a defense that not that Jalen McLeod won't have a role and an important one, because the numbers say he's an extremely effective pass rusher, but on a defense where the run defense has become more and more of a topic as fall practice progressed, I wonder if they might lean on McAllister and Sings more, because they could be more helpful against her. I don't know exactly what the Jacks' role is play to play, because you know they have other.
Yeah, they'll move guys around. They'll slide Cam Riley up some. They'll drop those guys at times. But the ultimate question of how effective is Jalen McLeod is going to be how many third and longs can they get in? Because if they're not in a bunch of third and long situations, then it's going to be hard for him to get on the field a whole lot. So you're right. It comes back to run defense. You know, and I said two of the most important guys on this team are Jason Jones and Justin Rogers. That's two of the most important guys on this team. They have got to have the ability to make people not be able to run from tackle to tackle.
Oh, you're right.
And you know, Marcus Harris and those guys thrown in there. But I mean, those two big guys, they have to be a force in the middle for this defense. Because then your linebackers are better. People are like, well, how are the linebackers? It's hard to know because the offensive line group has been able to run and get to second level and do those things. If they can, you know, hold up and make some plays on that defensive front, then it makes the entire defense better. Then you get Jalen McLeod on the field more.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. We'll get back on track. Go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break. One more segment with Jason Caldwell. So come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive. I'm 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Jerry is up first. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering about some recruiting news. I'm sure they have a long list of talent coming in to watch the game this weekend.
Yeah, no, it should be it's probably going to be better than a normal Auburn UMass mm-hmm. game would have been to start things. But lots of young kids. I think that's going to be a big part of it. Let me see. I'm trying to get to the actual list here, but I think when you look from the 20, there'll be a lot of commitments in town, and then I think it's going to be a lot of 25s. This will be a lot of these younger guys that they made some relationships with, done some of those things. I think one of the guys that is talked about coming that we're trying to verify is Deuce Knight, the quarterback from Lipscomb Academy that was on TV the other day. But I think you look and most all these guys are the commitment guys that are on this list. But then Eric Winters is a four-star kid from Enterprise, who safety linebacker. C.J. May, four-star kid from Highland Home, who's teammates with Ja'Kayla Falk, Keldrick's brother. Mm-hmm. He's 6'4", 235. Maybe got to watch is Spencer Dowland, offensive lineman from Athens, big offensive tackle kid, 2025 kid, but I think a guy that really likes Auburn. And then Floyd Bucard is a guy from Mobile Christian. He's a 2025 defensive lineman from Canada. He's a guy that we saw in the spring.
Oh, okay, because I was going, is he Cajun? No, yes, he's Canadian. He's French-Canadian,
huh? Canadian, played soccer and did all these things. He's about 6'3", 280, and played wide receiver and did some things. And, like, he's a freak athlete. So that's one of the guys. And then a couple of young guys, 2026, Keenan Britt, K.J. Britt's younger brother that already has an Auburn offer mm-hmm. in that group. And then there'll be guys that will show up, too. So I think – a lot of the commitment kids that are already on board, and then some of these 25 guys that they're starting to work on. I think there'll be a lot of those guys come in. Should be a pretty good group this weekend.
And yeah, the thing to keep in mind is these will be unofficial.
Correct.
I mean,
unofficial.
These aren't official visits, so they're liable to be quite a few more.
Hey, there'll be some that show up that you go, huh, that's really interesting that, mm-hmm. that he came.
Well, I'm sure the crowd will impress.
I think it's going to be really good. And people are like, well, there's tickets available. Yeah, there are some tickets available.
Because everybody can't make it to every
correct.
Game.
Yes, but. And that's the thing. And I think some people early on were like, hey, it's going to be too hot. I'm not going to go with it. But I bet if it shows up and it looks like it's going to be 80s, there'll be a lot of people that change their mind and show up. But it's going to be a great crowd for a UMass game. Should be a lot of fun. And, hey, the weather looks like it'll be – hey. 2 weeks ago, if somebody told me, even if it was 85 on Saturday, I'd have said, let's take it, let's go. So
I think if we'd heard last week,
it was 90.
Yeah, you'd go, oh, yeah, that's better.
Well, thanks, Jason.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. 334-321-1390. Yeah, I think the atmosphere is going to be great. I think there'll be a lot of folks that are – I mean, there's so many people that are interested. We are. We don't know what we're going to see. I mean, Andy was in here yesterday, and he's like, I really don't know what we're going to see. I'm excited about it.
Correct. There's just when you have 40 new players, we've watched them some. But some of these guys we've seen a little bit of in preseason. But even going back to the spring, you go, the A-Day game was nothing. Like, you got nothing from the A-Day game to take you into this.
Right.
Because of the weather, because of how bad it was. So even then you're like, hey, you normally look back to A-Day and go, I remember this. That game all I remember was is that like everybody was ready to go home. That's all I remember. There's so many new players, offensive scheme, defensive scheme, everything about it. It makes for an intriguing opener. And you get UMass team on the other side that, hey, look, if Auburn goes out there and turns it over a couple times, then you look up and you go, like, it's going to be a game until the second half and fourth quarter maybe because Tyson Pumachan and some of these guys.
Hey, if they can run the ball,
becomes a little bit different situation. But, I think Auburn's going to have opportunities. But, again, I'm anxious to see how it flows. We've seen how does an offense flow when you're getting every step, I mean, every snap and every rep at quarterback. You know, they've been rotating guys in and out. Now it's – okay, you take it. This mm-hmm. group take it, and y'all go for four or five in a row. See what happens.
So, acknowledging that there are there's very little from A-Day, or really that we've seen because we weren't at the scrimmages either. Like very very little we've seen this offseason where we could say, oh yeah, we saw that in practice. We saw that in theory. Who do you think we'll be talking about after Saturday's game? What are some players that feel like they could be you know, you're ready to see them have breakout performances on Saturday.
I've been talking about him all summer and all preseason. I think Damari Austin is a guy that has a big game Saturday. So I think that's one of the guys. It just seems like to me that Shane Hooks is going to be a guy they're going to throw the ball to. And so I would say Damari Austin, Shane Hooks. Defensively, I still believe that Keldrick Faulk is going to be a guy that when he shows up on Saturday is going to make some plays and going to go, okay, that's what you thought it was going to be. I think that guy. And then a guy that I've been watching since he was in the 10th grade, I think in the right system, Cam Riley is a guy that can be a playmaker. He hasn't been in that system since he's been at Auburn.
And we really – and that linebacker is another position. We were talking about some of the other spots. I really don't know. I think you're going to see some different combinations out there at
Correct.
Linebacker.
I think you're going to see some different guys, but I think he's a guy that needs to get downhill as an extra rusher, mm-hmm. as a guy that – yeah. Cam Riley looks like that and has zero career sacks.
Yeah.
They haven't used him. They've just been playing him at linebacker. And that's – it's. And I think back to it. I think back to Trey Blackmon. I think back to Trey Blackmon and I go, hey, sit there between the tackles and read a defense. Nope. Trey Blackmon, when you let him go attack somebody. That's who he is. Cam Riley's not that guy, but he is a guy that needs to get downhill, and he's 245 or so. I think if they use him in that role and do some things with him, probably we'll see a ton of that, but I think he's a guy that fits in this defense.
I'm getting on board some of the Jay Fair stuff. Like it gradually he became
he's been there at the top.
That's what I mean.
All fall.
I mean it, and I've wondered how much of that was Javarius's availability, you know, playing a role in how much we were seeing Jay Fair, and that could still be the case. You know, people would point out, you know, we heard a lot about Chick Dawson in two consecutive off seasons, and then when the season started, Javarius Johnson played a lot more at the position than Chick Dawson did. I don't know if that's the case here with Jay Fair, but I think it's worth pointing out. You know, maybe some of it is that we haven't, you know, there's been health concerns or that they've taken it easy with Javarius. I'm still starting to buy that there could be a consistent role for Jay Fair, and we might see a lot of him on Saturday.
Yeah, I think he's a guy because of that quickness and in space. When you start thinking about playing a team like UMass, who's going to bring guys, they're going to do some of those blitzes. I think about open space. Okay, who do you want to get in open space? And he's one of the guys you want to get in open space. And so I think he could be a guy that we just talked about it, the underneath stuff where, okay, that linebacker vacated. Yep. You go fill that spot and catch it and make a one-on-one safety, make a tackle. I mean, I think he's a guy that's going to be involved in this offense. Caleb Burton is a dynamic guy. How much do you get to – and here's the thing, he can play outside too. So maybe he moves a little outside, does some things. You know, that's the good thing about this team. There are lots of different options. And I'm just telling you, he's 5'7", 175.
I was just about to say, that's a guy that I can't wait to see.
But Brian Battee is going to be involved.
Just quietly a guy who ran for 1,200-plus yards.
And is an All-American kick returner.
All-American kick returner, yeah.
You know, I think – and here's the thing about him is, like, between the tackles, he's going to run. He is not Ontario McCaleb, folks. He is not a guy that's
only
going to run
speed.
No,
that just has to go to the – just to hit
the
corner.
That's not who he is. And here's the thing. He's not Sean Shivers either. You know, you think like, well, he's short like that. No, this is a guy that runs like the guy you would expect a 5'7", 175 guy. Yes, like a Lionel James.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying he's Lionel James, but Lionel was a guy that ran between the tackles really well because he knew about leverage and patience to find a hole, some of those things. Has some of those traits a little bit. He's going to get some touches.
And let's face it.
Noel Devine was 5'9", 175.
Noel wasn't 5'9".
No. But he, but,
I think officially they
listed him. He may have been listed 5'9". Yeah, he wasn't
5'9". But a different guy. Noel Devine was straight up, we're going to outrun you with speed.
It was pure speed. He was Pat quick. White was pretty fast.
He was
but Noel Devine
too,
was
Devine
fast.
Also had a – it was like you took a typical NFL size running back and you just sort of shrank him down to 5'9", 170. Like it was like the proportions were.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, UMass won. It was a huge win for them. No question about it. I mean, they hadn't won a road game and there was 24 straight road losses that they had. They only won one game last year. They went on the road, but you watch that game and it just it looked like teams that were a little slower. It looked like you slowed the speed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Solid.
They got size, but they're going to be big enough to compete.
The speed here compared to that speed, that could be, you know, the difference.
That's
the
it. They got a couple of guys on offense, a couple of guys on defense. Those are the guys that you look at. Overall team speed should be a big difference. Depth should be a big difference. And, again, it comes back to I said it kind of on our podcast too, but I said, to me, there's two things. Don't turn it over. Tackle. If you don't turn it over.
If you play a fairly clean game.
Correct. You don't turn it over and you tackle, then you're in good shape. Because if you tackle, that means you're going to force Tyson Pumichon to throw the ball on third downs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put them in some third and longs. To me, that's the two things. If you execute and don't turn it over and you tackle well, then you'll look up Saturday night and you'll probably go, yeah, that was a pretty clean performance.
Looking forward to it, Jason. Can't wait. Great stuff. One more time, let everybody know about all the things going on and how they can they can keep up with it and follow you.
Absolutely. Come follow us at AuburnUndercover.com, part of the 24/7 network, and subscribe there. Tons of stuff going on. Saturday, wall to wall doesn't begin to describe it. We'll have tons of stuff, from all four of us. From help along the way, photos, videos.
Mark going to be doing it? Yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't figured out kind of what his plan is going to be for Saturday.
Just good to see him back.
He's been around a little bit. He's playing a little tennis too, so he's having a good time. But, so we'll have all that so you can check us out there at Auburn Undercover.
All right, Jason, appreciate it, man. We will see you on Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment here of hour number one. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us for the rest of hour number one. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Spectre is up next. Hey, Spectre.
Spectre.
Hey, buds. Hey, I read an article in AL.com. I want to get y'all's comments. I want to get Jason's too, but I didn't know he would be leaving.
Yeah, well, I mean, he has some things going on. I mean,
he found out you called.
Well, no, he was heading out before.
Hightailed it out of here.
He usually can for sure stay here for the first 45 minutes. Sometimes he can stick around an hour. He had to leave early today. Sorry about that.
Yeah, but the article was about saving. Wanting to hire Hugh Freeze back in before he went to Liberty as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, Hugh mentioned that today in the SEC teleconference.
There was a question during the during the conference call earlier today directed at Hugh Freeze about I guess it was about his relationship to Nick Saban in general, and Hugh talked about when Alabama was interested in maybe bringing him in as offensive coordinator after Ole Miss let him go.
Yeah, remember there were rumors. And Hugh didn't really address them, that Nick Saban wanted to bring him in as offensive coordinator before he took the Liberty job. What Hugh did address today was after he had taken the Liberty job and Alabama needed a coordinator, that Nick Saban talked to him. He said, but by then he'd already hired some coaches.
Let's go further, though, Bill. There were rumors that the SEC was discouraging teams from bringing in Hugh Freeze as a coordinator. We don't know how real any of that was, but apparently there was talk that I think Alabama and Missouri, maybe I want to say,
Arkansas? Alabama and somewhere else, but
Barry Odom. There was talk that maybe Barry Odom wanted Hugh as an offensive coordinator too.
But Hugh was asked that at early on. Was it at Media Days or was it at his press conference? One of his early press conferences at Auburn this past spring.
Worked to dispel rumors
He said that the commissioner had never been anything but honest with him, and he didn't feel the commissioner had blackballed him. Now, that's not saying that the commissioner didn't let other schools know that he would not be happy if they hired Hugh Freeze.
And he's in a tough spot there because he's still the commissioner.
Right.
Right, so you can say, hey, I was blackballed, but now here I am. What are you going to do about it? You better hope you're never in front of him having to explain anything. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, though, that teams may have kicked the tires on bringing in Hugh Freeze.
And you can understand why. He's a really good offensive coach.
Including Alabama.
Yeah, I read between the lines there about how the commissioner dealt with it. But my question is, Saban just hired offensive coordinator last year. We're beginning of this year. And that's when Freeze was available.
And well, I think this is before Hugh Freeze went to Liberty.
This was when Hugh Freeze had just taken the Liberty job and he had just hired some coaches.
Hugh Freeze was doing very well at Liberty. I don't think he was going to leave to be an offensive coordinator in the SEC.
That's exactly
right. Now, when he was out of a job between Ole Miss and Liberty, he may have considered coming in as a coordinator. But once he took that Liberty job, I don't think he was leaving for anything but
another head coaching job.
But a head coaching position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. You may be right on that. I was just curious because I think the last thing Saban wants to see is Hugh Freeze at Auburn.
Yeah, he's probably not thrilled with that. I mean, and the two of them have talked about each other. They're good friends. They are good friends. But good friends sometimes are more fierce competitors than folks that don't even know each other.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how consequential it is as far as like who the actual coach is for Auburn. You know, it makes Nick Saban's job tougher when Auburn is competitive and doing well in recruiting, and Hugh Freeze does seem like someone who can line things up for Auburn and make things a little tougher for the coaches at Alabama and Georgia.
Well, Bill, you talk about good friends now. Hugh Freeze and Malzahn were good friends, and you know how Malzahn did against Saban. So, you know, these friends have a way of getting together and putting a number on him.
Oh yeah,
and you'll like this, Spectre. Hugh Freeze also talked about how three of the last four Auburn coaches have been in contact with him about his new job. He's good friends with Gus Malzahn, and they talk all the time. I think the question specifically was about how often he talks with Gus Malzahn. He also mentioned that Coach Tuberville has been in contact, despite his busy schedule as a senator, and Gene Chizik has reached out a couple of times as well to offer advice and counsel and friendship and things like that. So some of the former Auburn coaches in recent, the last few decades have been talking with Hugh Freeze about his new job.
One last observation, talking about being good friends. Have y'all noticed the resemblance in Freeze and Malzahn? They both wear visors.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And their coaching is basically it's pretty much the same as I think.
They're similar. Hugh's passing game's a little different, but. But, yeah, I mean, well, they're guys that, you know, have the same backgrounds.
Yeah, they were high school coaches in the same part of the country, maybe not the exact same town, but they, you know, that these are guys with similar enough backgrounds that not too shocking that they have similar seeming fashion tastes from the Auburn Under Armour catalog.
I don't know if Hugh is as much of a vest guy as either.
We'll see what the game day fit is, right?
Tubbs, Chizik, or Gus.
We'll see what he breaks out
on
Saturday for his first game.
Appreciate the call, Spectre. We need to get to our top of the hour break. We've got another hour to go. Hey, our first Tiger takes, you mentioned earlier, Keontae Scott at 5:30. We'll tell you more when we come back for hour number two of the Wednesday Drive.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. It's turned out it's a very nice looking afternoon right now. It's been comfortable weather. Of course, you know, Adalia hit the Florida Gulf Coast earlier today. It was not at the original expected landing spot. But it was not as far north as it looked like it could be either.
But the storm surge, the unfortunate thing is that this is a part of Florida that I think some places may have been ill-prepared because it's been generations since a hurricane like this hit parts of Florida north of Sarasota and you know, I guess that would be east of Tallahassee in that sort of the bend part of Florida. Perry had substantial damage.
Not the
from
most
some of the
populated
images.
Areas
no,
of Florida.
It's smaller towns. It's more of a it's part of the coast that doesn't really You know, tourism is not as big of an economic engine as other parts of the state. But yeah, there's storm surge, and I think Tampa had some.
I'm sure
Tampa St. Pete has that. So yeah, all the best to anybody impacted by the storm. And yet it doesn't seem like it's the widespread catastrophe across Florida, but there are some really heavily impacted areas.
Yeah, no question about it. So we're enjoying pretty pleasant weather here and looking like it's going to be nice.
Felt like
through the weekend,
through
Labor Day weekend.
We might have gotten sort of outer bands of that storm earlier today, like as it starts to break apart.
It rained hard and then it stopped.
Yeah, I mean, as it starts to break apart, you know, it disperses across across land, and I think we've been in the paths of other hurricanes and gotten a lot more. But this time, it seems like just a little bit of it grazed us. But yeah, it seems like
we may get a little more, just a little more rain.
Well,
it doesn't look like anything bad.
It's still spinning, right?
So yes.
Might still spin a little.
Usually
bit.
Usually continues to head east
before the end of the night. How about those lows in the mid-60s next week?
Unbelievable.
Though? Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
Here's
enjoy
hoping.
While you can.
Here's hoping, but could be some really nice weather and things are starting to finally cool off just in time for football season.
Football
arrives.
Season to hit full force.
And this, I mean, and we've got a game Saturday, Auburn hosting UMass, and it's on ESPN. It's on Wings 94.3 with the Auburn Sports Network.
Exactly right. I mean, a lot of things going on starting. Tomorrow, you've got Tiger Talk tomorrow from Baumhauer's over on Wings 94.3, and then you can check out some of the Florida-Utah game.
Yeah,
tomorrow night.
Doesn't seem
two
like
SEC teams in action. Missouri's also got a game tomorrow.
Doesn't
night.
Sound like Cam Rising is going to play. You know, it sounds like there's pessimism from people around Utah that their star quarterback from last year will be able to take the field. Florida looking to upset Utah for the second year in a row. And Florida's chances improve greatly. If Cam Rising can't go, and that's a that would be a big win for Billy Napier to us to start year two, as he's under the gun there in Gainesville, and they want to see improvement.
That is right. So that's some of the things going on tomorrow. Friday, Auburn Enterprise, big high school game.
We're jumping right into region play, aren't we?
We are.
We're getting into
week two. That's what it is. And Scott Bagwell will join us in the first hour on Friday to give us, you know, the game day preview before the broadcast Friday night. Airtime 6:30 and kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3. Let's see. Let's go ahead and we mentioned that today we have our first Tiger Takes with Keontae Scott, Auburn star. I guess, yeah, that's what he is. He is the star.
At the star?
Yes. He is the least.
I mean, I call him.
That's where we expect to see him. The nickel.
I throw defensive back out there because I feel like all those guys move around.
We'll ask
enough
him. Ask him if he is the star.
At some point, yeah, we'll pull Keontae aside.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, yeah, he's Auburn defensive back Keontae Scott is going to join us, and sounds it's going to be a weekly thing as we've been blessed with some awesome Tiger Take guests in the past. John Samuel Schenker did a great job.
Oh yes,
the last couple of seasons as our football.
Yeah,
representative.
We brought him back for an extra year just because he did so well.
Sonny DeShera, you know, are still a friend of ours on the show, and then Zepp Jasper.
Oh yes,
was able to and Justin Kirby. As well for another year of baseball. So we've had some great guests, and now Keontae Scott joining the Tiger Takes team.
Now this will be a pre-recorded interview today because they're practicing while we're on the air. So Jacob Goins of the On the Line talked with Keontae earlier. We will run that for you at 5:30 this afternoon. Just getting underway here in hour number two. But yeah, while I was mentioning things that are going on this week, tomorrow is Justin going to be in with us tomorrow?
We should have Justin Ferguson tomorrow.
Justin Ferguson should be with us tomorrow. Mentioned Scott Bagwell. We have another special guest that will be joining us regularly.
Are you ready? Because I teased this.
I'm ready. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and announce
it.
He is excited. We're really excited. We're going to be joined every Friday at 5:15. By Don Dunn.
Star Don Dunn.
Absolutely.
Former Auburn defensive line coach.
And Pitmaster.
Pitmaster extraordinaire. We, you know, I just recorded a show with Justin Ferguson where we talked about some local restaurants in Auburn for people that are visiting for a football game that are maybe looking for things. And we absolutely, we broke it up into different categories. And in the barbecue segment of the show, we absolutely discussed former Auburn defensive line coach Don Dunn and the outstanding work he does. And we're going to have analysis from Don every Friday.
I was thinking, you know, we could have our own little coach's corner or something like that with Don. But looking forward to that Fridays at 5:15. We've got plenty of time left here in hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. And hour number two is brought to you, as usual, by the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. How can you join us? Well, one of the ways is by calling the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. However you listen to podcasts, go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out, but you can catch the podcast on your favorite way to listen to podcasts, and that's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
All right, we had Jason Caldwell with us for most of hour number one. Hope you had a chance to hear that. If not, do check out the podcast. And we talked a little bit. Jason was saying, and, you know, I don't disagree with him. I think there is a very good chance that you'll see 40-plus Auburn players on the field offensively and defensively. I'm not even counting special teams. You'll see even more. Some newcomers, some young guys will be out there on special teams. But as much depth as I believe Hugh Freeze and his staff have built, they're going to want to see as many of these guys as they can early on.
Yeah, I'm curious about how much Auburn, you know, how much Auburn utilizes its depth early in the game against UMass, or are there, you know, are there clear leaders at the positions who are leaned upon more by the offense? I don't know. We'll find that out. And then if it's the case where Auburn wants to take a look at a lot of different guys, will that continue going into the season, or is that something where
hard to do on a consistent basis? Although, I mean, if you have three or four running backs that you can count on, if you have a half dozen or more receivers that there's not that much difference in, and they're playing well, you can play those guys. I mean, it's not as easy to play, you know, seven or eight offensive linemen every game, but it's not that difficult to play multiple skill players.
Although it does sound like there's some strategy behind Hugh Freeze's desire to play more than five offensive linemen at a time, right? Whether it's endurance related. He's talked about the guys, you know, the bigger players struggling with the elements this fall, and so, you know, maybe it's a way to keep guys fresh. Maybe it's out of a need for, well, we need a backup at every position ready to go in case something happens to one of those first five players. But yeah, maybe there is a little bit more depth on the offensive line that we'll get to see early on. And, you know, I still
think you play your offensive line, especially if you want to do pace like Hugh Freeze does. You might see them two or three series in, you know, change it up a little bit.
I would think mid-drive substitution won't happen unless there's an injury or a guy really struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You might designate, okay, these are the five offensive linemen for this series, and those five offensive linemen might change series two. But wouldn't you also think, Bill, that this first game is a chance to get tape on?
Oh, yeah, game one for sure.
I mean, Jeremiah and Tate and Isaiah, especially Isaiah, who's never played – I mean, at least
never played D1. He's never been at the college level. It's been junior college.
Yeah, I don't know how much the coaching staff is looking at what Auburn did on the field last year in evaluating these things versus what they have right in front of them. But, yeah, with Tate Johnson and Jeremiah Wright, they were on the field last year. Isaiah Miller coming over from junior college, it's a it's a different story when he takes the field in a bowl subdivision game. So like that's something else they probably want to look for is you know what changes when we go from fall practice and scrimmages to a game in front of a sold out crowd.
And one thing, all right, so I think Jason listed about 23, I think it was 23 players on offense.
I think we got to 25, didn't we?
It was two quarterbacks, three running backs, four tight ends, that's nine, seven receivers was 16, and he said seven offensive line. I think it's 23.
That's right. It's with the three receivers as the three guys that could, Malcolm Coy and I think Nick Mardner.
Just because you're not sure about him health-wise.
And Mardner more than the other two, I feel like, would be in the plans week one based on what we've seen if he were healthy. But he was listed by Coach Freeze as one of the limited players and seemed to be still battling that injury when we were out there yesterday.
All right, so let's look defensively. I think Jason said he felt we'd see three Jacks. That would be Elijah McAllister, Jalen McLeod, and Steven Sings. Along the defensive front, I'm sure you're going to see Monazilla Kite and Keldrick Falk at tackle. I feel like you're definitely going to see Jason Jones and Justin Rogers at the nose. Excuse me, Kite and Falk, Nazila Kite and Falk at the end. And then Marcus Harris, and I can't believe they won't at least play one other guy, probably Lawrence Johnson. That would give you six plus those three. That's nine.
What did the depth chart we have?
That's what the depth chart had. The depth chart also had Zykevious Walker listed as behind Keldrick Falk and Nazila Kite.
Who did they have behind Marcus on the
Lawrence Johnson?
Okay, so that I imagine would be
that would probably be your number two guy. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see Daron Reed or Bobby Jamison Travis either. But I'm thinking you're sure going to play those six guys inside.
It would be an endorsement. It would be an endorsement of the offseason Reed has had if he's able to get in there kind of early. I'm inclined with some of the folks who think it might be a while before we see Bobby Jamison Travis unless it's out of necessity.
Well, I think if the game is in hand, it's not a bad time to plug a junior college guy in there and just see how he battles against those guys because they like his talent. They're just trying to get him in shape.
Getting out there at
3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday will help you get in shape a little bit.
I just wonder if conditioning is the issue, will they play him at all? Right? Like, is that something where you maybe lean on someone who's not? Like, if you're – I don't know. Like, I think
I don't think you brought him in with the feeling that you might redshirt him. I think you're going to play him. And that's why I'm saying if the game's in hand.
But I don't think you
play him. Probably not first half. Yeah.
I didn't think they didn't think they'd be waiting this long to get him on campus either.
No, you're right.
That was something they may have set him behind.
Yeah. All right, so that gives us nine there on defense. Linebacker, don't you feel like Auburn's going to play at least four with Austin Keys, Cam Riley, Larry Nixon, and Eugene Asante? I mean, I feel like those four guys play in the first half.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think maybe Woodyard or Steiner later, but they seem to be – you know, they seem to be a tier below those other four at the moment, based on where the plans are. But that could change. That could change game to game as well. But no, I would agree. Those are the four guys at linebacker right now.
And so, if you just go with your starting secondary, that gets you to let's see, what do we have? We had nine plus four is 13 plus five in the secondary gives you 18. And you know they're not going to not sub at all in the secondary. You got guys like Donovan Kaufman and Marquise Gilbert and Kyan Lee that I feel like will get in.
Colton Hood, Champ Anthony.
So if they sub a couple of guys, you're at around the 20 mark. So we're at over 40. We're at 42 to 44.
Griffin Speaks. Absolutely.
Players I think that could see the field – offensively or defensively in the first half on Saturday.
We have not said anyone yet. Jamison Travis, to me, feels like the longest shot of first half of the guys we're talking about.
Yeah,
like,
no, I was talking sometime in the game. If the game is at hand, I could see him in the second half.
And it sounds like more ability, and you know, it's not ability as much as it's trying to work him into shape. But everyone else.
Get in shape and understand the system a little better because he's been here a shorter time than anyone else.
I would think, getting back to the defensive line, I would think Zykevious right? I mean, because they list him on the depth chart, would be someone that they feel is ready to go.
Yeah,
they would love
I think so.
They'd love to be playing Zykevia snaps this year because they just, I mean, they don't want to be shorthanded on the defensive line. So I think that would be, and again,
and he's listed outside. He's listed at a defensive end.
And it's so it's one of those guys where. I mean, he's if you go by what they were out of,
he was very highly touted
coming out of high school. If you were to look at what these players were coming out of high school, Zykevius was one of the most highly regarded players on the entire roster. Has not been able to put it together for a long consistent stretch as a college football player, but there have been extenuating circumstances. Maybe this could be his year if the stars align. Auburn would love for him to start making good on that that crazy potential that people said he had coming out of high school.
We'll get to our first break of hour number two. Again, coming up at the bottom of the hour, it's Tiger Takes with Keontae Scott. But our phone lines are still open as we head into the break here on the Wednesday Drive.
Attention, Lard.
DanAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Back into the drive, 22 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. And yeah, we'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind? And as we get closer and closer, it really feels like, I mean, because of some of the games, and because, I mean, we've got multiple games coming up tomorrow night. Florida, Utah is the biggest game, without question, tomorrow. But I mean, you've got a few games on tap tomorrow. It feels like we're almost to the weekend, even though it's just Wednesday.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I think that by the time, I mean, tomorrow we're gonna have Tiger Talk on Wings 94.3. We're gonna have college football that night. We've got high school football here on Auburn Network all weekend long.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday, Wings 94.3, your home for all day long. We're going to have coverage of this game.
And don't forget, on Saturday, we've got the game day on Wings with Jack Hudden and Uncle T-Bone.
Yeah.
That's at 10:30, I believe. Yeah. It's either 10 or 10:30.
Really cool. And then and
that'll be an hour before the network, the Auburn Network coverage starts.
Wings 94.3, the flagship stations of the Auburn Sports Network this season, so you can catch the game locally on Wings 94.3. In the SEC this weekend, you mentioned, Bill, Florida, Utah, LSU, Florida State.
I mean, it starts with Florida, Utah, and wraps up with Florida State and LSU.
We got Duke Clemson the next night.
But I'm talking
in the conference. Yes.
Conference play, interesting ball games to start and wrap up conference play.
North Carolina, South Carolina in the middle.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is a really interesting. That's the ABC game on Saturday night, live.
Yeah,
from,
same time. That's a 6:30 game.
That's right? Live from Charlotte. That's the 6:30 game on Saturday night. You've got, I don't know. I mean, Alabama plays MTSU, Bill. That game's at 6:30 on SEC Network.
Yeah, that's just one to see who the quarterback is.
I was going to say, I mean, the intriguing thing, Bama's a 39-point favorite at home against MTSU.
Yeah, the game I don't think is going to be that intriguing.
Do you think we have an idea about who Bama goes with? Like, do you expect to see multiple quarterbacks in the first half of that game?
Yes, I do.
Do you think?
I might even see rotating quarterbacks. I don't mean during a drive, but I mean, one drive, one quarterback. Next drive, another quarterback. Third drive, probably back to the first quarterback. But I wouldn't be stunned to see three quarterbacks in the game.
Do you? What do you do? I mean, so do you feel like it's pretty wide open?
I think Milroe is the starter.
Okay.
I just wonder, and the thing is, so many people wonder: is that the offense? Is he the best fit for the offense? That, Tommy Reese is comfortable with. I don't know. But the talk has been, hey, Alabama wants to get back to that ground and pound you. You know, they're going to grind you to a pulp. Well, Milroe may be the best guy for that.
I'm usually against the notion of, well, he's the best. He's a great quarterback, but he's not you fit your system to the quarterback. Like, if he's the best quarterback. And if he's not the best quarterback, then play someone else who is the best quarterback. But I do wonder. I mean, I know Reese has not had as much run-oriented offense with his quarterbacks. I think Milroe can do a lot of other things too, though.
He is a fabulous athlete.
Yeah,
I mean, he is a big, fast athlete.
The thing I've always wondered about those the two holdover quarterbacks from last year's team, Simpson and Milroe, if they were going to be able to overcome Tommy Reese sort of hand selecting somebody from the from his previous job, someone who's more familiar with what Tommy Reese expects of his quarterbacks, if that familiarity with
apparently that with hasn't Buckner been the case
has not been the case so far. We'll see. I mean, Buckner could be out there pretty early on Saturday for Alabama, but no, I don't know how it's going to shake out between Buckner and Milroe and Simpson. And they've got
I mean, just from the little things we've heard from Tuscaloosa, it sounds like Buckner is number three.
They have a huge game week two, and
yes, they do. And Texas coming into Tuscaloosa,
they got to figure things out. So yeah, it's a it puts some more urgency on the need to find a new quarterback.
Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline before we head down toward the bottom of the hour. And Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Let me turn down the radio here. Okay. Yeah, okay. And I got to close the door so the bell quits ringing. peace at last.
There you go.
Anyway, about a quarterback, I just have the feeling that a lot of quarterbacks are selected more than anything else on their ability to communicate with the coach, and the coach feels like he can communicate with the quarterback, and they're all on the same page, and they understand what the bigger picture is, and it might not have to do with who's the best athlete.
There's no question. Those can be very big factors. I would say also the ability to limit turnovers and just distribute the ball to the right person.
Yeah, it's about giving the team the best shot at winning, and how you define that within what do you prioritize the most as a coach, and what do you think it's the most that can vary offense to offense, coach to coach. Generally, you want to avoid turnovers and take care of the ball and things like that. But I think it it's not the athleticism, it's how you use it.
And the second thing is how well he can operate behind the offensive line. The offensive line kind of dictates what you can get away with, and so whose quarterback or which quarterback fits in with what you think you can get away with.
Oh yeah, I mean, and the offensive line, Alabama's offensive line was not great a year ago, so they're expecting it to be better this year.
They had a water bug at quarterback who kind of compensated.
Well, he had a guy who was a wizard at getting the ball to the right spot. He was amazing at just fitting the ball into tiny spaces, and he could also avoid pressure. He wasn't going to dazzle you with his running numbers, but, boy, he could move around and evade. Yeah, we've got to get to our bottom of the hour break. Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer, because we have Tiger Takes with Keontae Scott coming up on the other side. Stick with us for the final half hour of the Wednesday Drive. Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. And now it's time for our weekly Tiger Take segment, brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back. Or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. And as we mentioned, Keontae Scott and the Auburn football team practicing while we're on the air. So our Jacob Goins of On the Line spent some time with the Auburn defensive back earlier today.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, talking with Auburn defensive back and corner Keontae Scott, joining us here on ESPN 106.7, the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Keontae, great to talk to you, my man. We appreciate you talking and taking the time to sit down with us and preview the 2023 season as you guys get underway in Jordan-Hare Stadium this Saturday.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Well, before we talk about the game on Saturday versus UMass, there's a lot of things that have happened between the end of last season and this game on Saturday. What's been the biggest difference for you personally from what last year was in 2022 on this Auburn football team to what you've already experienced under head coach Hugh Freeze in spring and in fall for 2023?
I think it's just the team coming together, you know, with the new additions Coach Freeze brought in, and also just the new coaches, everyone just being able to sit down and buy in and realize that, you know, we're trying to push this where we want this program to be, and everyone coming in and collectively putting in and doing their part to move the program forward. So it's just been a blessing to see everyone coming together and working for one thing and seeing it all come together. Going to be very exciting to, you know, be able to display it every Saturday this upcoming year of all the hard work we've put in.
It seems like, Keontae, a very common word that's been used from players and people around the program has been refreshing. It's a refreshing mindset, a refreshing energy in the locker room, in practice, on the field, what have you. Would you agree with that?
100%. 100%. I feel like it's just, you know, breath of fresh air, like a foundation at the end of the day. When you lose a coach and the program is kind of shaken up, you lose some coaches that you've been around for years, and then, you know, a new coach comes in, you kind of have a foundation, kind of have something to stand on and something to believe in. And now we just have something to believe in. We kind of know we've built our standard of where we want this program to go. So just being able to, you know, stand on that every single day we come in the facility, just knowing that in our heads where we want this program to go and working every day to make sure that it gets there.
Man, speaking of that facility, that new facility's nice over there, huh? I know you guys are enjoying being able to see that every day and be a part of that, and they did it nice over there, man. They did it right in that new football facility.
100%. It's definitely a blessing, some of this stuff we have in our facility against other, you know, facilities in the country. We're definitely, you know, in one of the best ones in the country. So just being able to have all the things in here and, you know, equipped with all the great people and great staff we have in here, I feel like, you know, it's best of none.
Talking with Keontae Scott from Auburn Football here on ESPN 106.7. Keontae, for you personally, when you transferred from a JUCO college into SEC football, you had impressive stats on this team last year, but what was that like for you to go from a good high-level JUCO college but transferring into not just the SEC but the SEC West, which you know better than anybody is the toughest division in college football?
Yeah, it was just, you know, it was just a situation where I had kind of just been preparing myself ever since, you know, I committed and knew I was going to be coming up to Alabama and play at Auburn, just preparing myself mentally, just trying to get myself ready for the hard times, you know, because at the end of the day, the good is going to come, but just wanted to be ready for the hard times. I feel like it was, you know, my story is, you know, crazy just as far as me getting here so late and just being able to produce. Definitely feel like I was blessed. And I'm just excited for this year, you know, with having a spring and a summer behind me and, you know, getting out in front of things and things slowing down for me. So it's going to be an exciting year for myself and for this football team.
Does that make you – it's got to make you feel more comfortable, right, more prepared for the season when, like you mentioned, you had that spring, you had the summer, you've had this full fall. Like, that's got to make you more confident and ready and really believing in yourself and your abilities for 2023, right?
100%, yeah. I just feel like, you know, I really got a chance to see why, you know, the spring and the summer is very important. So, you know, just being able to preach that to some of my teammates on how to take it serious and stuff like that. And then, you know, just being able to, you know, everything's slowing down. You know, like the spring and the summer, everything was way slower. The defense is coming more natural. Being out there feels a little bit better. And then, you know, just getting that experience of being in those stadiums, I feel like is a big thing. Also, like going on the road and then also just playing in Jordan-Hare because I've never played in front of a stadium like that. So now, you know, going to Jordan-Hare, it's more like I kind of know what to expect. And, you know, I'm kind of used to it now. And it's an exciting thing more than a, like, man, going to be a lot of people out there. So I'm excited.
In 12 total games last year, Keontae, you had 35 solo tackles, 53 total tackles, and also an interception. Then when you look at some of your punt return stats, you had punt returns in all your games, 134 total yards. What's exciting about punt returning and kick returning for you? What separates that play from what you do on the defensive side of the ball?
Just kind of getting back to my old roots of, you know, playing receiver. I played receiver my whole life, so when I'm, you know, blessed by the coaches and by God to be able to be back there and have a chance to affect the game on both those teams, just focusing on taking more advantage of it this year, and definitely just being able to showcase my skills with the ball in my hand.
Well, Keontae, we know that there are high expectations around you from the people outside looking in for you in punt return and defensively, but I'm curious on what your expectations are for yourself defensively this fall, because, look, man, you're going to be all up in it. You're going to be a huge piece for this Auburn defense in 2023. So what are the expectations you've set for yourself and then for this Auburn defense coming up this fall?
As far as expectations for myself, it's definitely to, you know, be – a commander and a leader of this defense, and, you know, being able to pick us up when things are going bad, but also being able to make sure that we're not being satisfied when things are going good. And also, you know, just as far as for myself, is just to uphold the standard for that we set as a defense, but also uphold the standard I have for myself of being able to be in the slot, you know, get some of teams' best receivers. So being able to, you know, handle that matchup and take those guys away during the games, and then, you know, get back there and punt return and being able to, you know, get the first down for the offense and create some big plays back there, hopefully get in the end zone a couple times this year. And then as far as our standard for this defense, we want to be a rowdy defense. We want to communicate at a high level. We want to fly around and we want to create takeaways. And that's what we want to be known for this year. So we just want to, you know, our whole thing is getting offense back the ball, no matter what. If they go out there and, you know, and turn it over or whatever happens, you know, and as the game goes on, just being able to, we call it, put the fire out. So we're just excited. Everyone's ready. We're just ready to, you know, get after it.
I like that. Just get them the ball back, right, and just put the fire out and do your job, right? And so it's exciting for you, I know, and for this Auburn defense. What is Ron Roberts like, defensive coordinator for you guys? What is he like in practice? What's his intensity level like? What has he done to help you? Just what is Ron Roberts like on the defensive side for you in practice?
Man, I would just say just a defensive guru. You know, he kind of has answers for a lot of things offenses want to do to us. So just being able to see that, and then, you know, just being able to be taught by some of the things he's, you know, saying and really learning the defense on why we're doing certain things. It's just been exciting to learn from him and be a part of the defense and being a big role in the defense that he has. So it's just a good thing. I mean, he's a great coach. He does his job. You know, if you ever have questions, he offers meeting time and just little things like that, just showing that, you know, he's very supportive of us and, you know, he's excited also. So we're just ready to, you know, just be ready for him to call the plays and us to execute. And that's kind of how we got our things. And also him just having trust in us and us having trust in him to, you know, get things done.
Star defensive player Keontae Scott from Auburn football joining us on ESPN 106.7. Keontae, who are some of the guys defensively that you enjoy playing alongside? Who are you confident in, and who do you have the most fun playing with every single day?
We worked really hard this spring and this summer of just creating an environment where we don't have a drop-off. So it doesn't really matter who's really out there. We all enjoy playing with each other. We all mix it up. No matter who's out there, we feel like we've set a standard to where it doesn't matter who's out there. We're all playing at the same level, the high intensity, communicating well. So, I mean, I enjoy playing with every single person I'm out there with, no matter who's out there, because I know at the end of the day, everyone knows the standard and everyone knows kind of what we want to accomplish as a defense. So it's not like, oh, man, you know. So it's just like being out there with anybody, any one of my dogs, I'm grateful for, and, you know, we're ready to go to war. So I wouldn't say there's no one, anyone in particular. You know, I would be biased and say the defensive backs, but, I mean, you know, we handle our business and stuff like that. So I would just say just everyone, really, the whole defense is going to be very, very exciting this year, just being able to, you know, get fresh legs out there and not be a drop-off and not be all their twos are in or nothing. We don't really have starters. We just got role players, and we're all playing a role this year.
No, I mean, that's a great answer because that's what Auburn fans want to hear, right? That's what they want to hear. That's what they want to see because you want it to be look, playing in the SEC, your starters have to be great, but the guys behind them have to be great as well because the drop-off on the other side doesn't fall off, right? The talent in the SEC 100%. Is so good. So that's a great – I'm glad to hear that, Keontae, that the defense – and sounds like you guys are confident, a confident bunt as you should be and just super, super talented, man.
100%.
And so looking at the offense, because you're playing it, you're going up against them right throughout the fall. We know Peyton Thorne has been named the starter for Auburn at the quarterback spot. What have you personally seen from Peyton Thorne and maybe why you think he won the starting job?
I definitely would say Peyton, you know, is just a great quarterback. At the end of the day, I feel like he does the things the quarterback needs to do at that position of reading defense as well, making the right throws, and then just being able to, you know, pick the guys up. I feel like the offense, when he's in, they know he's the commander of the offense, and they listen, and you know, everything flows around him. So just seeing him being able to come in and get people to buy in and you know, build relationships, it was great to see. So I definitely feel like Peyton is the, you know, the guy for the job, but it's also going to be exciting to see the combinations and how Coach Freeze puts everything together with the QB room, but just with the offense in general. I feel like it's the same standard for the offense. You know, we got guys on both sides of the ball that can rotate in and not be drop off. So it's just exciting to, you know, to have a roster like this and just have a team like this, have a fan base like this, have, you know, just be in Auburn and just, you know, just be looking forward to building it back up and to where it's supposed to be. So it's just going to be an exciting year, exciting for the offense, exciting for the defense, excited for special teams, just exciting for Auburn in general.
Well, it sounds like you and this team are ready to go. The fan base is excited too, man. I know you guys see it. I know you feel it. They are going to be loud and proud on Saturday inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium with Auburn kicking off against UMass at 2:30. Let's talk about that UMass team in this game coming up on Saturday. It's game one, right, Keontae? There's so many things that, you know, could be a little slower to get started, and not that UMass is an SEC squad by any means, but it is week one. And so what's the message going into week one from head coach Hugh Freeze, from Ron Roberts on the defensive side? What's the message going into this game one against UMass?
It's definitely to, you know, play to our standard. I know that word keeps popping up, but it's just at the end of the day, that's what we built and that's our culture. And, you know, we definitely never want to take an opponent lightly or anything. We want to, you know, they've got some guys out the transfer portal, so they're, you know, a pretty decent team. They do some things defensively and offensively that, you know, we're going to be worried about. But at the end of the day, it's just to send a message to let everyone know that, you know, this Auburn team is a different team this year, and Saturday is the first chance we get to display that and just show all our work.
And I know that the feeling for you and this entire squad running into Jordan-Hare Stadium for the first time and what should be a revived fan base, a fan base that's sold out. You know, you've seen the numbers with the season tickets more than ever. They're sold out this game, particularly sold out in game one versus UMass. So, man, what's your favorite Auburn tradition so far since you've been here, whether it be football or another sport or just anything in town? What's your favorite Auburn tradition so far?
I definitely would just say Tiger Walk. Just seeing, you know, younger kids and just everyone that's just so happy to see us and showing so much support. I definitely feel like that's a moment that I definitely take serious every time, no matter if we're away or home, just seeing the support of everyone. And it's just something that is a blessing to see before you go in a stadium and go into a hectic game that, you know, sometimes can get hectic. But just feeling that love before you even get into that moment is definitely something that, you know, me and all of my teammates appreciate. So that's definitely something we, you know, don't take lightly. And, you know, this year it's going to be something that I've been telling all our new guys and all our new staff members, man, that's something that you'll never forget. So I definitely can't wait for Tiger Walk for sure.
Well, you'll have Tiger Walk on Saturday when Auburn kicks off against UMass at Jordan-Hare Stadium, 2:30 over at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Keontae Scott, star defensive player for Auburn football, punt returner as well, joining us every single week here on ESPN 106.7. He'll join us, and we'll recap the game from before. We'll preview the game ahead and talk about the season as a whole every single week here on ESPN 106.7. Keontae, great to talk to you, brother. I appreciate your time, and go get a win on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Keontae Scott, as Jacob Goins from On the Line, getting with him this morning as Auburn football practicing. Yeah, you know, what happens sometimes, I mean, a lot of teams take either Sunday or Monday off. And Auburn will not be practicing on Sundays. They'll watch film on Sundays, practice on Monday. That's where we had, you know, players the last couple of years. But our thanks to Jacob going over and talking with Keontae Scott, who will be visiting with us throughout the season on Tiger Takes, which is proudly presented by the Alsobrook Law Group on the web at alsolaw.com. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive. Experience and knowledge from the pro.